following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, good evening, everyone. This is End Time Headlines. I'm Ricky Scarrell, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. It is Monday, September 4th. It is Labor Day. We hope everyone's having a great weekend. We wanted to come on tonight because we will not be broadcasting this Wednesday. So we definitely wanted to come on tonight. I want to talk about for the next few moments about what it's going to take to get up to the fulfillment of major wars and conflicts and battles in Bible prophecy. Because when we read about the great war of Ezekiel 38, 39, what scholars call the Gog and Magog War, we talk about that. You think about that war. You think about Armageddon. You think about conflicts like the kings of the East in the book of Revelation, where John sees this 200 million man army that marches over the Euphrates River when it's dried up because they're invading Jerusalem to come after the Antichrist, who has set up his headquarters there in the temple, this third temple that will be constructed in the latter days of during the tribulation period. So when we read about these things, we think to ourselves, you know, we don't really stop to think about, there has to be a series of events that lead us up to that point. None of these major prophetic wars and conflicts, and we're talking about, and not only just that, but even in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, talks about wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. When you start talking about all these things, some people, I don't know, for whatever reason, they have this mindset that this is just going to happen. It's just going to fall. It's just going to suddenly take place. And that's not the case. There's got to be a series of events. I call them the prophetic pieces of the puzzle that come together that create the big picture of this. That's going to bring about the fulfillment of these major prophetic wars and conflicts. So that's what we're, I believe there's some things happening. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. There's a lot of saber rattling. Even there is some indications that there could be some major sleeper cells in the United States of America. Now, what does all this mean? And could this be, again, more stepping stones leading up to the fulfillment of these things? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on tonight's subject. But before we get started, again, I want to welcome everybody to the broadcast. If this is your first time joining us, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. And of course, hit that like button, that share button, that bell notification. This pushes our content out on the algorithm on all these platforms. So we would appreciate that. And of course, if you've not downloaded our free app, this is how you can keep up with our ministry. It's available free on Android and Apple devices. You just simply go to your Play Store, whatever that looks like for you. Type in End Time Headlines if you're listening by this broadcast. And once you see it, you download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. For you guys that are watching this program, under the description of this video, under the link, it says download our free app. Click on the link. It's going to take you there. And then again, depending on if you have an Apple or Android device, click on that. That link there, and it's going to lead you to where you can download the free app. That's, again, do not rely on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Don't rely on these social media networks, because we're all of us, anyone who is speaking truth biblically, that is not compromised, that is not gone into the way of the woke madness. We are on borrowed time. So this is why I said, get the app. Download it today. This is how you're going to keep up with our ministry. So again, I want to recap real quick and talk about what I just said here. If we know that according to the Bible, there is going to be major wars, conflicts, and battles, prophetically speaking, from now until the fulfillment of that, or until it's manifested or completed, there has to be a series of events that lead us up to that point. And I believe today we've got some headlines that I believe are precursors leading us to this. For example, this is a headline from the U.S. Sun. Vladimir Putin has just put his 16,000-mile-an-hour doomsday nuke which he calls Satan 2, very interesting name. This thing is capable of sinking the United Kingdom in one strike. He has put this doomsday nuclear weapon on combat duty for the first time. Now, we're going to get into this article. I'm going to show you some stuff here from this report. But before we do that, excuse me, I want to show you a little bit of video here. This is going to give you a little more insight into this missile.
First pictures have been published of a new Russian intercontinental ballistic missile. Russia state media says the Satan 2, as it's called, could actually wipe out an area the size of Texas or France. So let's talk more about this with our senior international correspondent, Matthew Chance, who's joining us from Moscow. So, Matthew, what more do we know about this missile?
Well, it was commissioned back in 2010, so it's been a sort of very badly kept secret by the Russians. If its military abilities are real, which is what everybody expects, then it's quite a formidable weapon, a very formidable weapon. It can hit any target on either side of the United States, for instance. It's powerful enough to destroy a country, a single missile the size of France. It can carry up to 15 warheads. It can evade missile defenses quite effectively as well. And so it's a pretty awesome sort of missile. But hopefully it won't ever be used. But the real political value of this is that it shows that Russia is still a nuclear superpower, that it can still compete. It has parity with the United States when it comes to nuclear weapons. I think that's its main importance.
All right, so I want to go back to this. And again, what the video I just showed you is a little bit older. It was just when they first announced it. It was first released to the public. That's been many, many years ago. But again, you hear the awesomeness of this missile, the threat that it poses. Vladimir Putin, now this is recent, has placed the world's most powerful Armageddon nuclear rocket, again dubbed the Satan 2, on combat duty and a haunting new threat to the West. The unstoppable intercontinental missile system could sink the UK and is the size of a 14-story tower block. The head of the Russian space agency issued a chilling announcement earlier this week when he told a crowd of students at an event that, quote, the Sarmat strategic complex has been put on combat duty. Borisov also said Tuesday that Russia will, quote, most likely undock the Russian module from the International Space Station after 2030. This specific weapon, I'm going to highlight this here, was designed to carry out nuclear strikes in countries thousands of miles away in the U.S. and Europe. I want you to think about that for a minute, friend. This destructive nuclear weapon was created to destroy cities thousands of miles away in the West and in Europe. The report goes on to say that it has the potential to obliterate the United Kingdom, again, which is 1,600 miles away from where they would launch this missile, in literally 6 minutes. Now, you couple this report with their Poseidon torpedo, nuclear-capable torpedo that is capable of causing nuclear tsunamis on coastlines. This is a serious, not only is this a serious threat to the United States and the United Kingdom, but this also creates the likelihood of the scenarios that we read about in the Bible.
Now, a CNN exclusive. The U.S. observed Russian naval vessels preparing for a possible test of a new nuclear-powered torpedo in recent weeks. A senior official with direct knowledge tells me. Among the vessels that took part in those preparations was the Belgorod. It's a cruise missile submarine modified for special operations, including launching unmanned underwater vehicles. That includes the Poseidon torpedo, as it's known, seen here. It is a nuclear-powered unmanned underwater vehicle capable of carrying both conventional and nuclear munitions with a nuclear propulsion system that gives it virtually limitless range.
And again, you think about, for example, you go to Revelation chapter 18. It talks about this mystery Babylon. That look right here in verse 9, it says the kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament. Again, this is a future event, has not happened in our lifetime. They will weep and lament. Look at this. When they see the smoke of her burning, and they will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, Allah, Allah, the great city of Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour, your judgment has come. So whoever this mystery Babylon is, and that's up for debate. We can debate that for 30 minutes. But whoever this mystery Babylon is in the future, going into the latter part of the tribulation period, whoever this mystery Babylon is, we see here by the writer who is John, he sees all the, he gets a glimpse into the future, and he sees that this mystery Babylon is destroyed in 1 hour, completely annihilated, leaving it in smoke and ruins. And whatever is coming out of the smoke is likely toxic, nuclear, or some type of chemical, biological, because it says here that they stand off from a distance and watch as this mystery Babylon has been completely judged in 1 hour's time. Listen, friend, I'm telling you, I believe with all my heart, this is speaking of conventional nuclear weapons. We have to agree on nuclear, biological, chemical, all the above. Something, some type of weapon will destroy this mystery Babylon in 1 hour's time. And again, according to these reports, that this Satan II nuclear missile from Russia in their possession, which, by the way, is a key player in the future in this war called Gog and Magog, this weapon has the potential to obliterate the United Kingdom 1,600 miles away in only 6 minutes. No wonder we get to this passage like Luke chapter 21. And it says that waves and seas roaring. Again, this nuclear Poseidon remote missile torpedo can detonate and has a propulsion system that it can detonate this nuclear device, cause a nuclear tsunami on these coastlines. And the writer here in Luke 21 says, there will be the seas and the waves will roar. And he says in verse 26, men's hearts failing them for fear of the expectations of the things which are coming upon the earth. Here's another report from Newsweek. Russian state television threatens nuclear strike on the United States. Again, we all know that they have done this over and over again. They keep issuing these warnings. It's almost like the boy who cried wolf at this point, because it's the consistent saber rattling, the threats, the rhetoric. But I am saying today, what I'm telling you is, we got to get from point A to point B. Somehow we got to get there, folks, prophetically speaking. And it looks like things will pick up pace. And there will be seasons where there will be great acceleration of events. And that's why we're covering these things. Today is not so much a hoot and holler, exhorting, equipping message as it is. It's just to inform you of the times and seasons in which we're in. Kremlin propagandist has issued yet another nuclear threat against the West regarding the war in Ukraine, warning that the United States can be in danger of a Russian missile attack. According to the editor of newspaper National Defense and a regular guest on the Russia One channel, where guests have repeatedly called for strikes against Ukraine's allies, took exception to criticism of Russian conduct in the war. Quote, Russia is being warned and threatened that if we misbehave, or if, in quote, NATO senior member for logistics, Ben Hodges' opinion, we exceed what he considers to be the necessary permissible lines for the use of all types of Russian weapons, he threatens us with more than just strikes on the Crimean bridge. Again, this is according to Korochenko. Hodges has repeatedly called for Ukraine to be provided with all weapons. Now, who is this Hodges again? He is a NATO senior member for logistics. He is calling for Ukraine to be provided with all the weapons it needs to retake Crimea, including army tactical missile systems, which gives the capability for Ukraine to allow long-range precision strikes on the peninsula. According to Korochenko, he believes that Hodges believed that the U.S. might consider strikes on the basis of Russia's Black Sea Fleet and troops in Crimea, as well as strike Russian naval bases in Syria. He went on to say that he believes that these are not, quote, just statements of retired hawk, but also a concerted information campaign designed to influence both U.S. and Western audience. We would call this propaganda. While the U.S. is the largest provider of military aid to Ukraine, it has taken pains to avoid direct confrontation with Russia and has made no threats of attacking the targets that this individual is accusing them of. Korochenko said that there should be a discussion about what will determine the use and permissibility of tactical nuclear weapons, what goals and what tactics we will use. Hodges went on to told Newsweek that the U.S. administration was finally realizing that the likelihood of Russia using a nuclear weapon is extremely small. However, he went on to say that, quote, Russia has been threatening nuclear strikes since the beginning. I take them seriously because Russia has thousands of nuclear weapons and because they clearly don't care how many innocent people may die. Again, this was according to Hodges, who is this UN general of logistics. And again, we just told you about two of these nuclear weapons at the beginning of this program. Now, consequently, while that's going on, this headline right here from the Associated Press is very intriguing to me. Because, again, it paints a picture, prophetically speaking, of a future war of Ezekiel 38:39, Gog Magog, where the three main players of this end-time coalition that will invade Israel in the latter days, which will consist of Russia, Turkey, and Iran. And here, look at this. I'm going to read this article to you guys that are listening by Apple and by Spotify. You guys that are watching this, you can see this. Quote, what's at stake when Turkey's leader meets Putin, and that would be Erdogan, in a bid to reestablish the Black Sea grain deal? Now, again, according to the report from the Associated Press, Turkish President Erdogan will meet with Vladimir Putin on Monday, hoping that would be today, to persuade the Russian leader to rejoin the Black Sea grain deal that Moscow broke off from in July. Since the withdrawal from Putin, Erdogan has repeatedly pledged to renew arrangements that helped avoid a food crisis in parts of Africa, the Middle East, and Asia. Ukraine and Russia are major suppliers of wheat, barley, sunflower oil, and other goods that developing nations rely upon. The Turkish president has maintained close ties to Putin during the 18-month war in Ukraine. Turkey hasn't joined Western sanctions against Russia following its invasion, emerging as a main trading partner and logistical hub for Russia's overseas trade. So it's interesting. They're trying to solidify this deal over supplies of wheat and grain. Now, remember, when you get over here into Ezekiel 38, again, future war, future conflict, it says here that the Lord himself will put hooks in the jaws of these nations, and he will lead them out with all their armies, their horses and horsemen. There will be a great company with bucklers and shields and all of them handling swords. And he names who they are: Persia, that's Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, Gomer, that's Turkey, and Gog, Magog. These are these Soviet Russian nations. So these are the players involved in this. This is this end time coalition that will gather against Israel. Now, watch this. We're going down here to verse 10, Ezekiel 38, verse 10. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. What is this evil plan? Listen, he tells you, you will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely. This is the talking about the nation of Israel in the future, not now, in the future, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates. Here is the evil thoughts, verse 12, to take plunder. And now the New King James uses a term called and to take booty, but that would be like to take resources, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited. You can find more about that in Ezekiel chapter 37, when God completely made alive the nation of Israel that was dead, annihilated. The prophecies of Isaiah talks about they'll blossom again. All these things has happened, by the way, fulfilling prophecy. This will be against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods who dwell in the midst of the land. Interpretation. Something will happen in the future. There will be drought. There will be famines. There will be climatical disasters, geopolitical, whatever they are. But as a result of that, Israel will continue to be blessed. They will continue to flourish. They will continue to blossom. The Bible says, the prophets Isaiah, Ezekiel, all these prophecies, Jeremiah talks about this, that Israel in the last days would blossom again. They would bloom again. They would fill the earth with their produce and with the richness of their resources. Now look at this. All of these other countries, it appears here, that at the time that this will be fulfilled, these other nations are reeling from famine. They're reeling from, food shortages, droughts, the consequences of wars, and perhaps sanctions being put on them from the United Nations. We don't know what's going to lead up to that point. But the bottom line is, when these nations, Russia, Turkey, Iran, Libya, all these coalition of nations, when they see that Israel is well-watered, flourishing, prospering, they evil thoughts will arise in their hearts. And because of this, God himself, your Bible says, will put hooks in their jaws and lead them down to attack the nation of Israel, where, watch this, where there will be no other nation that will defend the nation of Israel during this conflict. Not the United Kingdom, not America, but the Bible says that God himself will rise up and defend the nation of Israel. Read it, Ezekiel 38, 39. But so you say, what's your point, Brother Ricky? The point is, somehow, we're going to see this unification of these players. Turkey, Iran, Russia, Libya, all of these nations, they will be unified together. They will come together because something has to take place to lead us up to the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38, 39, and other major conflicts. Again, we're going to cover all this today in today's segment. We talked about the kings of the east. We're going to get to them in just a second. We talk again, Matthew 24, wars, rumors of wars, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. All right, here's another headline that came out over the weekend. North Korea says it simulated a nuclear attack. And actually, it says attacks, plural tense. North Korea has just simulated nuclear attacks on South Korea, and it even rehearsed its occupation of its main rival. This simulation, called Scorched Earth, was a series of simulated nuclear strikes on South Korea, and that it also rehearsed an occupation of its territory in the event of conflict. North Korea has previously tested nuclear-capable missiles and described how it would use them in potential wars. Here we go, these potential wars. That would be rumors of wars with South Korea and the U.S., but the North's disclosure of detailed war plans reaffirmed its aggressive nuclear doctrine to intimidate its opponents. As it escalates its protests, the ongoing South Korean U.S. military exercises that it views as a major security threat, observers say. North Korea's military said it fired two tactical ballistic missiles from the capital on Wednesday night to practice scorched earth strikes at major command centers and operational airfields in South Korea. All right, here's a little more on this.
Simulated a nuclear strike on targets in South Korea Tuesday, meant to... Korea saying it simulated a nuclear strike on targets in South Korea Tuesday, meant to be a warning to the U.S. against deploying strategic bombers to the peninsula. The missile test came hours after American bombers flew through the area during military drills with South Korea. Meanwhile, the White House says new intelligence shows North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un is in discussions with Russia's president over an arms deal that could help Russian fighters in Ukraine. Concerning? Quite possibly, yes. Mark Esper, who served as U.S. Secretary of Defense during the Trump administration, with us now. Good morning to you, Secretary Esper. You know, whenever we bring up Kim Jong-un, I feel like it requires a lot of context, and yet there's some things we know to be true. He reportedly warned North Koreans that the U.S. has made the waters around their nation unstable and that it would lead to nuclear war. That's the messaging to his people, but how hardy of a threat is that to America?
Yeah, this is not unusual talk, rhetoric coming out of Pyongyang by Kim Jong-un or any of his people. This is what they do, particularly in light of an annual exercise that is occurring right now with South Korean and U.S. forces. It actually ends today, I think. It's been ongoing for a week or so. But this is the rhetoric he uses to motivate his army, to convince his people to sacrifice for the hardship he puts them through. And this continues all the time. So this is just more of his rhetoric.
So as you're saying this, you know, I'm thinking about the fact that North Korea says it's simulating nuclear strikes. Of course, they're simulating nuclear strikes. They have to back up that smack talk. But like you said, this is typical narrative. He's flexing his muscles. The question is, does the U.S. need to change their game plan, our game plan with South Korea to calm tensions with the North, or would that make us look weak?
Well, you know, the good news is we actually have changed our game plan. A new South Korean president came in the last year and a half or so, President Yoon. He's taken a hardline approach toward North Korea. He's reached out to his Japanese counterpart. Of course, it culminated in an important meeting at Camp David 2 weeks ago with President Biden. So Japan, the United States, and South Korea are also taking a harder line with regard to North Korea and also China, by the way, which I think is more important. And of course, there's been more done to restore annual exercises in the South between the United States and South Korea. And of course, what we call extended deterrence. That's making sure that the North understands that the United States nuclear umbrella also protects South Korea. So a lot of good things have happened in this space. More should always be done, but we also need to see if there's any way we can get them back to the negotiation table with regard to denuclearizing the North.
I just feel like a lot of times these are things that we hear about over and over again, and yet nothing seems to be done, at least nothing the American people are really privy to. Though the White House did release new intelligence showing Russia and North Korea are likely negotiating an arms deal. Are we...
Now, see, that's a huge... Right there, what she just said. Again... That's why most people shrug off these threats from one single nation. But when you start seeing these coalitions coming together, Russia, North Korea, Russia, North Korea, and China, Russia, North Korea, China, and Iran, when you have these coalitions forming that are all have the same agenda, they have the same in-game intent, and that's to destroy America and destroy the West. We need to be paying attention to this.
Late to the party. I mean, is this old news that is just being confirmed? Their relationship isn't new.
Well, the relationship is certainly not new. It's been going on for decades. But what is new is this agreement, if you will. Now, rewind the clock a little bit. Months ago, we knew that North Korea was reportedly providing missiles and rockets to the Wagner Group to enable their mission in Ukraine. But this seems to be a new level of the relationship. About a month ago, the defense minister from Russia, the first time I think since the early 1990s, traveled to North Korea, met with Kim Jong-un. And now what we're seeing in the weeks after that is a new arms agreement where North Korea would provide missiles and rockets and, importantly, 155 millimeter artillery ammunition in exchange for Russian food, Russian technology, Russian energy. And this shows a number of things, right? Most importantly, it shows that Russia is desperate to get arms and ammunition to its forces on the ground in Ukraine. And it's a good sign on one hand, but a bad sign that they're finding a lifeline from the likes of North Korea and Iran, by the way.
All right. And moving on from this, now let's talk about China. Now, when we get into the book of Revelation, it talks about the kings of the East, plural, kings, plural tense. Whoever these kings of the East are, some say it will be China and India. Some say China, India, North Korea. There's speculations who did this. I believe undoubtedly that China will absolutely be one of those nations. And China is one of America's greatest threats right now. In fact, I want to show you this piece. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Quote, Chinese gate crashers at U.S. bases spark espionage concerns. When we dig into this, let me read a little bit of this. Washington, look at this article here, or this little excerpt. Washington has tracked at least 100 incidents involving Chinese nationals trying to access American military and other installations. According to this report, Chinese nationals posing as tourists have accessed military bases and other sensitive sites in the U.S. And it's not just a handful. We're talking about as many as 100 times this has happened in recent years. One U.S. officials described these incidences as, quote, potential espionage threat. The report goes on to say that these range from Chinese nationals found crossing into a U.S. missile range in New Mexico to what appeared to be scuba divers swimming in murky waters near a U.S. government rocket launch site in Florida. These incidences, according to U.S. officials, appear designed to test security practices as at U.S. military installations and other federal sites. Let me say that again. These appear to be dry runs. They're testing to see what they can get away with, how far they can go. Y'all remember this story right here? Y'all remember this laboratory that was just recently discovered in California? Guess who was behind that? China.
Been in government for 25 years. I've never seen anything like this.
First at 11, this one is tough to believe. An investigation tonight into a possible illegal medical lab. It was operating out of an abandoned warehouse in Reedley. Inside, mice bioengineered to incubate the COVID-19 virus. The lab was discovered near I and 9th Streets. 30 refrigerators and freezers, some broken, were found filled with bodily fluids. Health officials tell us they are shocked at the biological house of horror.
And of course, this was an article published by the Associated Press in regards to that laboratory. Quote, an illicit Chinese-owned lab fueled conspiracy theories, but officials say it posed no danger. Okay, let's stop for a second. I've got to read you this article headline one more time, and then we're going to get into this ridiculous report. An illicit Chinese-owned lab that was something that was never seen before, was considered to be a horror show. And in case you wasn't paying attention, let's hear this again. What was discovered in this lab?
Mice bioengineered to incubate the COVID-19 virus. The lab was discovered near I and 9th Streets. 30 refrigerators and freezers, some broken, were found filled with bodily fluids. Health officials tell us they are shocked at the biological house of horror.
So they called it officials called this a biological house of horror. But yet the Associated Press says, well, there's no sense in writing the conspiracy theories because it posed no danger. Again, according to the Associated Press, quote, the discovery last December launched investigation by federal, state, and local authorities all investigated this Chinese laboratory that was secret under the radar in stealth. It was called a medical lab of horrors, biological lab of horrors, I should say. All these authorities investigating this said that, quote, there was no criminal activity at the medical lab. There was no evidence of a threat to public health or national security, even though they found infectious agents in, 30 refrigerators, including E. coli, coronavirus, malaria, hepatitis B, hepatitis C, dengue, chlamydia, human herpes, rubella, and HIV. But don't worry, guys. The Federal Centers for Disease Control and Prevention said there was no sign that the lab was illegally in possession of the materials or had select agents or toxins that could be used as, quote, bioweapons. And as a result, the CDC has taken no further action in this matter. Now, I find it hard to believe. And look, I'm just a Kentucky boy. I was raised in Kentucky, lived and raised, born in Kentucky. So I never went to Harvard. I never went to Yale. I don't have 100 degrees hanging on my wall. But I find it hard to believe that this laboratory posed no threat. And I find it hard to believe that if any one of us was to create a laboratory, if we were to take a building and make it a laboratory and begin to have 30 refrigerators filled with all kinds of biological agents in them, and if this was discovered by our neighbors, went on local news, I find it hard to believe that there'd be no feds, no authorities, no police officers that would see or question any of it. So you're telling me that none of these people were questioned. There's no federal investigation into this. Everything's been closed. We've closed the case because all these agencies have come together with the unified decision that it poses no threat to the general public. If you believe that, friend, then I am very concerned for your mental health. I mean, after all, it's not like China has some nefarious agenda. Oh, wait a minute. China takes steps to control global food supply in a move towards world domination. What?
Here's a question. What would happen if a hostile government seized control of our nation's food supply? Would Americans relent and submit to avoid starvation? Communist China is gradually moving in to control the agricultural industry in Africa. Appearing on this week's episode of The Global Lane, Kip Tom, a former U.S. ambassador to the U.N., explains why Chinese dominance of the global food supply would pose a danger to Africa and the world, including the United States.
The reality is, we tend to go in, the United States goes in with capacity and compassion and gives the humanitarian aid through the World Food Program and a lot of other organizations. But the reality is the Chinese Communist Party goes in through every country in Africa, investing in infrastructure and other projects and actually capturing the country's natural resources. But
now keep that in mind, investing in resources, agricultural speaking, buying out land. We're going to talk more about that in the United States in just a second.
Ultimate goal is to have Africa be the breadbasket for the country of China to feed their 1.4 billion people.
Well, what specifically then is China doing to make Africa its food basket? What specifically are they doing?
Well, I think there's a number of elements that China's exercising. One is they go in, as I said, they build these death spirals. You may have one country or many of the countries across Africa take a World Bank loan out for building bridges, roads, dams, any kind of infrastructure you can imagine, and then they default or can't make the payment. China comes in and buys that debt out for a minimal amount, and then the country is beholden to them, and they usually get natural resources and other elements of what the country can offer to them to support the Chinese Communist Party.
Now, listen what he's saying very carefully. If you think that that cannot happen in the United States, you've not been paying attention. You are still asleep, and you need to wake up because this is happening.
And the needs of the people of China. So you go into Africa and you see it firsthand what's going on. I mean, you go into the capital of Zimbabwe, Harare, you go there. The Chinese, you'll see a sign on every street corner, every street vendor is Chinese. They've displaced the African workforce. They got cameras on every street corner. We've seen that everywhere. We also see China coming in and building military installations in Djibouti, South Africa as well. So China wants to seize control of the continent of Africa. And it's not about the mining and the critical minerals. It's about agricultural productivity.
Well, Brother Ricky, that's in Africa. That's not in the United States. That wouldn't be happening here, would it?
With tensions still high between the U.S. and China, a growing number of states are seeking to ban Chinese companies from buying American land. But how big is the potential risk to U.S. security? Here's Ryan Nobles.
In Montana, fears about the security threat from China have been growing ever since that Chinese spy balloon soared across its famous Big Sky.
The Chinese spy balloon was right above us. That woke a lot of people up.
And it's not just worries about America's vulnerability from the air. Now, one of Montana's senators is pushing to keep the Chinese government from buying land nationwide.
China is not our friend right now. And the Chinese Communist Party wants to do bad things.
Senator John Tester is proposing a ban on entities with ties to China and three other foreign adversaries from buying American farmland and wants to beef up monitoring of land transactions to foreign buyers.
Right now, we're not paying any attention to it.
The push to prohibit foreign land purchases from China has exploded across America. 15 states have passed laws regulating the practice. Much of the focus coming after controversial purchases in Texas and North Dakota.
All right, Texas, North Dakota. If I got any viewers, I know we have people from Texas a lot. We've got a lot of partners from Texas for our ministry. North Dakota, I don't see many people from there, but here's two states in America where this is happening.
Where Chinese companies bought land and failed to disclose it to the U.S. government. In Grand Forks, North Dakota, city officials recently blocked construction on land purchased by a Chinese company just 12 miles from Grand Forks Air Force Base. The company has said it's just a corn mill and not an espionage risk. But the Air Force had warned that the project...
Oh, well, we can all sleep better at night knowing that, right? Because, I mean, that's what they told us. Nothing to worry about here, folks. Just like the balloon, who knows what it was? Was it really from China? Was it our own government? Again, we never know the truth about anything. Almost everything, you have to do your own research and you have to figure these things out.
Presented a, quote, significant threat to national security. Overall, U.S. intelligence rates the Chinese Communist Party, or CCP, as a top security threat.
The CCP represents both the leading and most consequential threat to U.S. national security and leadership globally.
Though an NBC News review tonight, finding nationwide the amount of American land being purchased by Chinese entities appears to be small. Since early 2022, less than 1,400 acres sold to businesses tied to China have been reported to the USDA so far. In total, it appears China controls less than 400,000 acres of American land, which is less than 1% of all the land owned by foreign entities. Here in Montana, a state law banning Chinese citizens from buying land passed with bipartisan support. Brad Molnar was the only Republican to vote no.
You create the dragon. There never was a dragon.
He says the law is an overreach and would prevent his wife, a Chinese national, from being able to inherit his land after he dies.
There's no evidence that I'm aware of that the people that own the land are in any way a threat to American security. If they are, arrest them and remove them.
Tonight, Tester tells us more action is needed to counter the security risk from the Chinese government.
Are you concerned that we don't even know how much land China has potentially purchased already?
I don't think we know how much land they bought. This is prospective. This will stop it happening before it becomes a situation where we go, oh, gee, we wish we'd have done something about that in 2023.
And what about sleeper cells? Could it be possible, could it be probable that we have Chinese sleeper cells? Now, we know for a fact there's Iranian sleeper cells here. We've been warned about this for years and years and years. What about Chinese sleeper cells?
Are we getting close to something spiraling out of control? Look at all of the issues around the Chinese Communist Party. We've got suspected Chinese spies reportedly posing as tourists to try to gain access to military bases in Alaska. Now you've got this report that suspected Chinese spies are reportedly posing as tourists. They're trying to gain access to military bases in Alaska. Several soldiers told USA Today in one incident, a, quote, vehicle with Chinese citizens blew past a security checkpoint at Fort Wainwright in Fairbanks. The vehicle was eventually stopped. A search found a drone inside the vehicle. The occupants claimed that they were tourists who had gotten lost, General. So, you know, when are we going to stop asking for a meeting and start asking for answers to all of this?
They understand that this is a major security threat to Americans' interests and to the American people. We have consensus on this in the United States, and it is going to grow. I hope it translates into a defense budget that really makes some sense with about 5 or 7% growth after accounting for inflation. We've got to catch up to China, and we're not doing that. We're actually falling behind with the budgets that are being proposed currently, much less attempting to catch up to China, who has more of everything that we value in a war: ships, airplanes, rockets, missiles. We need to have an effective deterrent, Maria, and we've been saying it for years.
All right, guys, now I'm going to close with, I want to bring you to this scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul is speaking to the church at Thessalonica, and he gives us a clue about the coming of the Lord. And this is one that's very interesting, and it all ties in with this. He tells them, concerning the times and seasons, my brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. Here is the one phrase here that is a major clue to Bible prophecy. For you yourselves know, perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. So Paul here is telling us that one of the major signs and clues to look for to the coming of the Lord will be when you hear that when he refers to they, who is they? He's talking about the nations of the world, the nations leaders of the world. When they have a unified cry and decree of peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come as labor pains. And it's interesting he uses the term labor pains because this coincides with Matthew 24, which also talks about these are the beginning of sorrows. That Greek word sorrows is where we get the word travail, and it talks about birth pains. So he's giving us clues here of what to look for before the coming of the Lord. Then another thing I want to point out here is when you go to Daniel 9:27, this is the famous verse here. This is the famous passage where in which Daniel saw a covenant. And I really want to highlight something here that a lot of people skip over. When they talk about end time prophecy, eschatology, the end times, when they start talking about this covenant of peace for 7 years, they skip over something. It's right here, and it tells you this. This is a major clue. Look at this, Daniel 9:27 on your screen. The Antichrist who is to come will, look what it says here. He will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And in Hebrew, that's 7 years. Let me say that again in case you missed it. He, the Antichrist, when he comes on the scene, he will confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, implying here, watch this, that before the Antichrist confirms the covenant, there is, it appears that there's already going to be a peace treaty on the table. It will already be established. There will already be writing. There will already be negotiations. There will already be a series of treaties leading up to the final 7-year peace treaty. It will all be laid out. The leaders of the world, the nation's leaders, will have already signed this thing. They will already pledge this thing. They will already be pushing this thing. I thought about this. Watch this. When I read this article, this is an article from Prophecy News Watch. Quote, the Saudi-Israel agreement. Is this a precursor to the Antichrist covenant with many, alluding to Daniel 9:27.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 700 Club. Thanks for being with us today. A peace deal between Saudi Arabia and Israel. That's the topic of high-level meetings between Israeli and U.S. leaders at the White House this week.
Saudi Arabia is seeking major concessions, including Israeli support for a Palestinian state. As Dale Hurd reports, negotiations will have to overcome even greater obstacles if they want to reach an agreement.
Top Israeli officials are set to hold meetings at the White House after the U.S. and Saudi Arabia reportedly agreed to a broad outline for a deal in which Saudi Arabia would recognize Israel.
But the Saudis are asking a lot, not only for Israeli help in the creation of an independent Palestinian state, but U.S. security guarantees and help creating a civilian nuclear program. White House National Security Council spokesman John Kirby, speaking off camera in a virtual press briefing, said a deal is not close at hand.
Quite frankly, just to be blunt here, I think the reporting has left some people with the impression that that discussions are farther along and closer to some sense of certainty than they actually are.
But former Israeli ambassador to the UN, Danny Danone, says he believes Saudi Arabia is likely to join the Abraham Accords and normalize ties with Israel within the next year. While former U.S. ambassador to Israel, Martin Indyk, compared the complexity of the deal to a Rubik's Cube.
This three-way deal, which is what it will be between Israel, the United States, and Saudi Arabia if it comes about, it's kind of like a Rubik's Cube. There's so many moving pieces that have to be put into place.
Wow, do you realize how prophetic that statement really is?
An intricate diplomatic dance.
Dr. Ariel Cohen of the Atlantic Council's Eurasia Center said all the demands made by the Saudis will make a deal difficult.
The Saudis, the prince, he wanted nuclear technology with very few strings attached. To be provided to Saudi Arabia, enrichment of uranium. He wanted an ironclad guarantee that if Saudi Arabia is attacked by Iran, the United States will step in and go to war for the kingdom.
Israeli opposition leader Yair Lapid has told U.S. lawmakers he opposes any normalization agreement, but Indyk says a deal is a high priority for all three governments.
There is a sense of urgency. And
a sense of urgency for a treaty of peace.
Important about this is not only that the sense of urgency appears to be matched by Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, but of course it's matched by Prime Minister Netanyahu, which for him is one of his most important foreign policy priorities now. He can taste the possibility of peace between Israel and Saudi Arabia.
The White House wants to complete the deal before the presidential election season heats up. Some think that's too soon and that any deal will have to wait until after the 2024 election.
Now, I want to show you something here that's very intriguing. You go to the book of Daniel chapter 11, Saudi Arabia is directly mentioned here. When you go in here, this is Daniel 11:23-25. I'm going to read this from the King James. And after the league made with him, this is talking about the Antichrist, after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with the small people. So the Antichrist, again, he comes in a diplomacy of peace. This is why in the book of Revelation, he is the white horse rider with a bow with no arrows, because he comes in a diplomacy of peace. Ready? But then he takes a small group of people and becomes strong. He creates this eighth and final empire. But let me read on here. This is Daniel 11. Look what it says here in verse 24. He shall enter peaceably even upon the fattest places of the province. Now, this does nothing for you when you read this from the Western perspective. But I'm going to point out some Hebrew words here. This faddist, this word faddist and province, okay? The word faddist in Hebrew is a word meaning oily, okay? And province in Hebrew here is a Hebrew word Medina. So let me read this again from the Hebrew. He shall enter peaceably upon the oily places of the Medina. And he, you know where Medina is? In Saudi Arabia. He will enter into the oily places of Saudi Arabia, and he shall do that which his fathers have not done, nor his father's fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, eat, and he shall forecast his devices against the strongholds even for a time. So it's interesting here because Saudi Arabia will fall victim to the Antichrist and his false peace treaty. Now I'm going to go back again. Thessalonians, don't forget this, guys. Paul said, you're going to know one of the major clues and the signs of the coming of the Lord, for when the nations of the world say peace and safety, then you better know that sudden destruction is going to come like labor pains upon a pregnant woman. Because watch this, the Antichrist will come on the scene. He will be this global leader. He will come in a diplomacy of peace. There will already be peace negotiations. There will already be a covenant of peace that will already be in place. And when he comes on the scene in power, he will confirm something that's already put in place. Now, here's the question I have for you. What has taken place in the earth that's going to constitute a peace treaty? Again, I'm just going to propose something to you. Could it be possible there's a series of wars and conflicts that is taking place that leads to a forceful resolution? The United Nations has to step in because it's gotten so bad that they are demanding a peace treaty be signed. So they've already got this thing established. So then this Antichrist rises on the scene. He confirms this covenant. The whole world is rejoicing because it's peace and safety. Israel has lowered their walls. They now dwell in a land without walls, in a place of safety without bars and irons and walls. Read it, Ezekiel 38. And then, so the whole world is rejoicing in jubilation. But the Bible says that for 42 months, the world will cry peace and safety, but then sudden destruction shall come because in that period of 42 months, this Antichrist begins to establish his kingdom. He invades, look at this, he invades Jerusalem. He sets up his headquarters at the temple, the third temple that be constructed. And by the way, in case you've missed some of our previous podcasts, we've talked about the temple institution and those in Israel that are working on the red heifer. Remember, they have, I think it is five heifers that they're, it's a waiting game. And they said that once these heifers are ready to go, they could begin the construction of the third temple in Passover of next year in 2024, which so happens to be the election cycle. And again, here we are, them talking about a peace treaty. So again, I'm trying to put all these pieces together for you. You look at these coalitions forming right before our eyes. Russia, Turkey, Iran, which are three major players that are engaged in Ezekiel 38, 39, who invade Israel in a time of peace and safety. Okay, then we have the kings of the east that the Bible says will march over the Euphrates River, 200 million man army. They will invade Jerusalem, the temple, because the Antichrist has taken the whole world hostage, because the Bible says that 10 kingdoms will surrender their power over to him in 1 hour's time. He has hijacked all the oil. He's taking control of weapons. He's taking control of sovereignty. And these kings of the East will be fed up with it. And they will try to invade him. And then we see in Revelation 18 that there will be the capability. And what John saw way out in the future, there will be some type of weapon or weapons with the capability to destroy an entire nation in 1 hour's time. What am I telling you? I'm telling you exactly what Jesus said in Luke 21, 28. He said, when you begin to see all these things coming to pass, he said, you better look up, lift up your head, because your redemption is drawing near. Listen, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, right there above me. If you're watching the visual, this, that's our main website. Bookmark it today. Get it. So you can keep up with our ministry. Download our free app. Again, it's available on Apple and Android devices. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be ready to go with every podcast like this, every headline when it is readily available. Again, don't forget to hit that like button, that share button. It pushes our content out on these platforms for others to see it. Share it with your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors. Invite them in, share these videos so that you can open a Bible and show them that the times and the seasons in which the prophets foresaw, that Jesus warned about, that the Gospels talk about, and that John describes in a period of 7 years, all of this is coming together and it's quickly coming to pass in our lifetime. And of course, guys, I would love for you guys to pray about becoming a monthly partner. This is how you partners like you help us to remain strong and active and continue to do what we do on a week-to-week basis. So listen, if you'd like to pray about becoming a monthly partner, you can do that in two different ways. You can give electronically through the app. That's the easiest way, to the bottom where it says donate, or you can go to the main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, where right there where it says support the ministry. Just click on that little link right there, that picture right there on your screen, and you'll see that on the website. Click on it. It's going to take you to an electronic page. You can give by PayPal. You can give by credit card, Venmo. You can give by Cash App. All these electronic options are available. You can give a one-time gift, or you can become a monthly partner. You pray about that. Whatever your relationship is with this ministry, just be obedient to what the Lord would have you to do. And of course, you can give by check or money order, and you can make that out to you right there on the screen. End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So as always, guys, we appreciate you coming on for this Labor Day special, September 4th. This broadcast, we pray that it's been a great blessing to you. We're going to sign off for tonight. We'll be right back here, Lord willing, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with another great broadcast. Until then, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you tomorrow night.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.